Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Eric Van Nostrand with Credit Suisse. In these back and forths and ebbs and flows, you see something like that, Eric. 13 years, the longest run of weekly losses in more than 13 years shows everybody's got to reframe. How do you readjust, or how do you adjust or reframe your belief in fixed income after what we've seen?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom. And it's not even just speculation anymore of the economy slowing down. We've got the evidence. Payroll growth the past couple months has been waning, the unemployment rate ticking back up due to a combination of extremely accommodative Fed policy and the crisis in Europe. Fixed income is yielding ever lower. And 10-year yields, as you know, last week broke through their all-time low in the 160s.
We call that the Ira Jersey moment.
We have a lot of Ira Jersey moments at work. Most of them are good. And now we're at about 157, which is another all-time low in Treasury yields.
Well, do we get an even more accommodative Fed later?
We do. We think that the weakening job numbers of the past couple weeks and this overnight move is even more evidence that the Fed needs to be prepared to act.
Did you see anything in Bernanke's testimony yesterday that confirms that or doesn't confirm it?
I did, Ken. Well, I wouldn't say confirm, but I was surprised that a lot of the market commentary surrounding Bernanke yesterday seemed to suggest that he was hawkish, meaning that he was less likely to do more easing. But I read it starkly different. I think if he had come out any more dovish than that, it would have been rather crazy. It would have been odd for him to say explicitly what he was going to do. He did say that the Fed has tools remaining in its ammunition, which is something a lot of people have questioned, and he said that they remain ready to act.
So might we get something completely, if they do something, would it take a different form than what we've seen in the past?
Well, there are a number of options that they could have enacted at the end of June when their current policy, Operation Twist, expires. Mm-hmm. We think that it's most likely to be an extension of this Operation Twist, which again is selling short-dated treasuries and buying long-dated treasuries. So they still get to take interest rate risk out of the market by doing that trade, which is what they want to accomplish with QE anyway, but they can do it without printing money, which opened up to a lot of criticism last time. So we think that'll probably be extended for a few more months here at the end of June.
It's not Math May, but we are into Geometry June, so let's look at the geometry of the Greek letters. You have, and this is very important, this is way inside baseball, folks, a bit trying on a Friday, you have a gamma probability distribution model.
I love the gamma distribution.
Which is gaming the Fed. You and I need to get a life. Gaming the Fed way out past 2014. Discuss that.
Yeah, so what we're doing there is we're taking kind of a new approach to looking at the front end of the interest rate market and figuring out what the market's expecting for when the Fed's going to hike. We think the old kind of standard way of doing that is a little bit too simple, doesn't really look at enough of the possibilities for what the Fed could do. Our gamma distribution uses some modern statistics to help identify where the market's looking for the Fed to hike. And right now, even though stated policy is for the Fed to keep rates at these near zero levels through 2014, it looks like the market's pricing for a late 2015 or early 2016 hike.
Is gamma there acceleration? Is it the second? Is it the derivative of delta? Is it the movement of the movement?
It's not. That's a different gamma, but it's still
Is gamma a horse in the Triple Crown this weekend?
Well, I think we should put him there.
Eric, at the risk of getting into too much inside baseball, when you said the market is showing signs, it's anticipating later than the end of 2014. What signs? What do you see that tells you that?
So what the market we're specifically looking at is the Eurodollar futures market. So these are futures contracts that help us gauge what the market's expecting LIBOR to be. And LIBOR is very closely related to the expected Fed funds rate. So by comparing the Eurodollar future contract that matures in, say, 2015 with 2016, we can gain some insight on what the market's expecting the Fed to do between 2015 and 2016.
But is LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate, is that a distorted market due to the ECB and to the wall of money central banks have provided?
Well, we think that deals with that's on a level of significance we're not so much concerned with. That's dealing with, say, maybe the third decimal place, and we're concerned about the first decimal place, kind of the long-term trends in LIBOR.
Ken, we've even out-mathed Math May.
Well, the market anticipates that. Is the market right?
Well, we think that's a little bit aggressive. You know, we certainly take the Fed at their face value that it's late 2014 is an early bound for when this happens. But we think based on current levels, that might be a little aggressive. So we're looking at ways to position for that expected hike date to move a little bit sooner.
Eric, we talked to to foreign exchange people who say it's just very difficult here to be a tactical investor given the volatility. How is it in the fixed income market? How does someone, whether it's full faith in credit or agency, aren't you going to get whipsawed here?
Well, we think tactical trading has actually become more important in the past couple months.
Why?
Because fundamental trading has become so much harder. All the markets, bonds, stocks, have become substantially more correlated in the past couple months as Europe has kind of taken over the investment landscape. Our daily interest rate moves are heavily sensitive, and this overnight move is a great example of that, along with the stock market, to the various sentiment coming out of Europe. So we're trying to look for trading opportunities that exploit tactical opportunities. What normally happens around auctions, what normally happens at month end, and we're finding a lot of success in that regard.
Are we paying too much attention to Europe?
No, we are not. No. It's important. And this is driving a global risk-off fear that has really changed the outlook for investors globally. And it's one that we think is going to be a key determinant of the Fed's policy actions here domestically in the coming weeks.
Well, would it be correct to assume this is sort of a knee-jerk reaction? The worse things get in Europe,
mm-hmm.
The more money flows into the U.S., right? So the more yields go down?
Exactly. That's right.
Too simplistic?
No, that's exactly what's been happening the past couple months. And one of the reasons we're not calling for Treasury yields to back up is we think that trend can continue. The two main markets, the two main reserve currencies, the dollar and the euro, where money has been flowing, safe money, in the past couple months has been into U.S. Treasuries and into German Bunds. They're kind of perceived as the other safe place to put your money. Problem is bonds, German treasuries, are now yielding substantially lower even than the U.S. market.
Right. Well, they were at negative return.
On a real return basis,
a few days ago.
So that, you know, we think there's an argument to be made that treasuries are actually cheap. It's still, as far as safe assets go, it's a good place to go.
Well, and when you look at Japan as well with their own soap opera,
exactly.
Where do you go then for yield? I mean, not that you're looking at corporate bonds, but across all of the Credit Suisse strategy team, is there something that hasn't come in?
Well, we think that whatever it's going to be, wherever you put your money now, is going to be euro sensitive. So the objective should change at this point from how to pick up short-term yield to how to be in a safe place where you can weather this crisis in the near term. You know, treasuries remain a great opportunity for that. We think most of the rally is over. We don't expect another 50 bips. We're not going to have another lonely call for 1%. We were satisfied enough with 1.5. But there could be another 10, 20 basis points getting us down to 140 in the coming weeks, especially if the Fed does go ahead and ease more.
Ken, I just put out on Bloomberg Radio Plus just a simple intraday of the euro, and you can see there 124.38 that it's been linear today, but nevertheless really breaking down to new weakness on the day. That's a tension into the weekend, isn't it?
That's
just as simple as that.
Yeah.
Nobody
and
wants...
People don't want to take risk over the weekend, but it's also, you know, it's also a correlation with the equity market, with the yield market, which are reacting negatively to this news out of Spain.
Well, let me get back to something Tom touched on a minute ago, Eric. Where do you go if you want yield?
You know, it's a tough question.
Yeah.
It's not one with an easy answer. The problem is that yield is available for taking risk. What's happened to treasuries is that we've removed the economic incentive to hoard the reserve medium, as one member of our strategy team put it. You're simply not going to get paid anymore for doing something safe. That's kind of what the Fed wants. You know, that's the kind of the first level argument for lowering interest rates, for what we've often called financial repression, is moving people out of safe assets into riskier assets. If you want yield, you have to take risk, but risk costs.
Mm.
Why isn't the Dow at 14,000 if we're being successful?
Because the Fed's wanted us to do this for going on 3 years now.
Or would the Dow be at 9,000 without this incentive?
Well, that's the second argument there is kind of the camp we fall. The problem with all criticism of economic policy is that you can never observe the counterfactual.
I think it's existential Friday. It was like a Neil Ferguson
moment. Well, fit a gamma distribution to it. You know, physicists and chemists have a sample size of N1000 to measure everything. We always only have one each time we try to solve a crisis. So that's, you know, that our belief is, and the Fed's belief is, that things would be worse without the current easing policies, and that they're likely to get worse if the easing policies end.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by Singapore Airlines, introducing Suite Class 12 ultra-luxurious private cabins featuring their most spacious seat and a separate standalone bed. Their new Airbus A380 service, it operates daily from New York to Frankfurt and Singapore. Eric Van Nostrand with us from Credit Suisse.
Okay, you take more risk. How far down the quality scale are you willing to go?
Well, that's, you know, that's something that'll depend on individual investors, right? People with retirees in particular, older folks with shorter investment horizons, should probably, unfortunately, they're one of the ones who are being put in a difficult position by this economic regime. And, you know, our recommendation is that they stay in something safe like treasuries, even though they're not going to be paid for it. And that's the unfortunate economic reality now.
But as you extend from 14 out to 15 and 16, the idea that this financial repression is of benefit to people moving paper around on desks or traders or hedgers, however you want to put it, the damage of this on a real basis to the real economy and to Americans is profound. Am I correct that the real return is negative out 20 years? Is that true?
It goes out to about 15, 20 years now, right? That's on that. You can get that by looking at the TIPS market, which is the real treasury market. And it effectively breaks down that interest rate and says how much of that 1.5% is real return and how much is you're just getting paid for inflation over the next 10 years. Now, 10-year treasury is yielding 1.5%. Unless you think inflation is going to be less than 1.5% over the next 10 years, and let me tell you, not a lot of people do, then you're getting a negative return. You're going to make less in that 10 years than you are getting paid for inflation.
It's just a profound, I mean, I don't think in my study of history I've seen this. I think there have been windows of a few years, but you're suggesting, is Dr. Soss suggesting this as well, that we could see accommodation? I don't think I've even framed 2016 in my mind. That's a long ways out.
Yeah.
That's a presidential administration.
It is. Another thing the Fed will have to be paying close attention to. But Neil Soss and our economics team have, they are also forecasting for more accommodation coming in June. And the most telling thing for us about more accommodation coming in June isn't about the immediate impact of whatever they're going to do, whether it's extended twist, whether in mortgages, whether it's in straight QE3. What it tells us is that they're committing, they're putting their money where their mouth is, to make lower for longer really, really long.
Does James Sweeney and your European team, do they suggest the ECB can do the same thing, or have they run out of ammunition?
Well, the ECB's had a lot of creative solutions to the crisis in Europe, which, you know, staved off a lot of the fears over the past couple, well, over the first couple months of 2012, and now we're seeing a resurgence. But, you know, certainly for development, for a resolution to that crisis, there'll need to be a lot of collaboration, both between the ECB, which only manages monetary policy, and the fiscal policy, which is very much a disarray in Europe.
Eric, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.